Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Tower Casuals, the Destiny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Derrigan. Alongside me, as always, is my game of the year, Josh Finney.
I'm honored. I'm honored. It is, of course, Game Awards night.
Sure
is. So we've got some interesting reveals so far. We're an hour into the show. Yes. Corey and I both have it pulled up, I think, on our various screens.
Sure do.
Or if you're like me, you're trying to manage everything on one 13-inch laptop screen.
Well, I have the Game Awards on my old 55-inch TV over here, Josh. And I have you in the middle screen. And then I have this terrible
football
game.
I made the middle screen. Let me tell you something, man. Haven't had a whole lot in the way of the awards except for, like, Best Performer and Best Narrative so far, which really deservedly went to Neil Newbon for Baldur's Gate 3 and Alan Wake 2 for Narrative. I am all the way... Yo, Jet Set Radio exists! Oh my god! It exists!
You're way ahead of me then.
Oh!
Oh! Is it a remake?
I don't know because I don't have the audio on, but I'm screaming! Oh my god, they're showing so many Sega games, Corey!
Oh, there it is. Okay. I see Shinobi.
It's a new Crazy Taxi!
Hold on a second.
It's what? A new Crazy Taxi! That's a new Shinobi!
Why am I so behind? A 2D Shinobi? Oh, that's cool. I'm way behind you. I don't like this. Is that Golden Axe they just did?
Yes.
Crazy Taxi. Okay. Okay. Streets of Rage? Now in development, it says. Power of the next level. Okay, I'm into it, Sega.
Oh my god. I'm so sorry for those of you who are tuning in for Destiny news. Jet Set Radio is one of my all-time favorite games. It is the whole reason I wanted an Xbox to begin with. To be frank, I was not into Halo when it first launched. I was like 9 years old. Jet Set Radio Future really like defined my teenage years in a lot of ways, with the soundtrack, the skating, the graffiti. I have been waiting for a new Jet Set Radio game for 20 years. I cannot believe this is happening. I am like, there are actual tears welling in my eyes right now that it is not all just in my head. Sega is forever goated for this moment. This is incredible.
That was quite the pull, Sega. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. I'm excited for Crazy Taxi.
Fucking Crazy Taxi, which I genuinely, like, I did not know if it would work in the modern age. And, I mean, to be fair, we still need to see how it plays out. Crazy Taxi hasn't had a game since High Roller, which also 20 years ago.
A weird game that was, man. High Roller. It was really...
Supermassive is debuting a single-player Dead by Daylight game right now.
I'm watching Dragon Ball right now.
Oh yeah, I'm like super ahead of you. So if anything happens, I don't know, but I'm gonna interject if I see anything. This is, of course, a Destiny podcast.
It is.
In the midst of us being very happy about what's happening right now, of course, you know, context. There's been like 9,000 layoffs this year in the industry, and that's not hyperbole. I'm actually really annoyed that Jeff has not addressed that at all. For a show that purports to celebrate the industry as a whole, that's a really big black eye on it. And
it's also a show that relies on these companies to show up and accept these awards. And also their commercials and their ads and everything.
Yeah, I have a really big problem with it, that's not being addressed on the quote-unquote video game's biggest night. That's really, really troublesome to me. What's also troublesome to me, we're going to launch right on into it. We have some news we have to discuss tonight.
Yeah. Disturbing.
I'm pulling it up. We're going to launch right on into it. Of course. Rebecca Valentine with another incredible piece coming out of Bungie. This published a couple days ago. In fact, it posted yesterday, actually. Oh man.
Yeah. Oh man.
How do we even start of this? The situation is a lot messier than any of us could have possibly predicted at Bungie. Morale has apparently plummeted. No surprise.
What was the word they used in the article? There was a very specific word they used.
Soul crushing.
Yes, soul crushing.
We're gonna dive right on into this report because there's a lot to talk about here, Corey.
Yeah.
We're gonna read pieces of this and we're gonna react to it. Oh boy. So,
I mean, while you look for that, like,
I'm trying to figure out where to even start with this, right?
I knew this was gonna somehow bite Bungie in the ass, being we're independent but we're still owned by Sony type thing. I knew somehow, some way, this was gonna come back and haunt them, and it's crushing a little bit.
It's not great. So, the exact details of Sony's deal to acquire Bungie remain unknown to the public or employees. Employees don't even know. Sources say they were told by leaders the current split board structure is contingent on Bungie meeting certain financial goals. If Bungie falls short of certain financial thresholds by too great an amount, Sony is allowed to dissolve the existing board and take full control of the company. And with the final shape delayed into next fiscal year and Bungie still investing heavily on Marathon, many employees understand that if Bungie is struggling to meet the necessary targets to keep its last vestige of freedom. Such a takeover wouldn't necessarily be shocking given its 2022 acquisition, but it would nevertheless be a stunning development for a company that has historically prided itself on its independence. Visions of Mana just got announced. That's really weird.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching
it. Really trying not to, like, interject while we're talking about such a... In fact, I'm going to minimize this window.
You should probably just pause it.
Feel free to take notes. Bungie leadership made the choice to lay off roughly 100 employees last month. The cost cutting at Bungie isn't limited to just personnel. Multiple current employees confirmed to IGN that the company has implemented numerous other cost cutting measures recently, including a studio wide hiring freeze, reduced travel budgets, elimination of holiday bonuses, keeping its annual Bungie Day virtual, delaying the Weeplong Company Pentathlon event, and reducing numerous morale events. Bungie is also pausing or fully ending benefits like annual employee compensation adjustments to meet market rates, new hire lunch programs, employee donation matching, peer recognition programs, and gift cards for employee birthdays. And yearly studio bonuses this year will only be contractually obligated 80% minimum after being above 100% for good performance for several years running. Yeah, it's no surprise that morale is in the gutter. You slashed, like, all of the good things about working at this studio in terms of benefits. Mm-hmm. Like, of course your employees are going to be pissed off about this, right? And it doesn't get any better. This resulted in a massive decay in morale within the company, according to IGN sources, one of whom told us the mood within the studio has been soul-crushing over the last month. It doesn't sound like management is making any significant efforts towards improving the atmosphere either. According to those still with the company, employee frustration and sadness in the days and weeks following the layoffs was met with a surprising amount of indifference or outright flippancy or hostility from management. Several people we spoke to told us that leaders had reiterated across multiple meetings they couldn't guarantee there wouldn't be more layoffs, two specifically confirming previous reports that Chief People Officer Holly Baplakovi outright stating that the layoffs were a lever the company would pull again. We know we need the final shape to do well, one source said, and the feeling at the studio is if it doesn't, we're definitely looking at more layoffs. This next part is the one that I really, like, started sharpening my pitchfork for, right? Employees in one department recalled a post-layoffs Q&A session where a department head was asked if leadership taking salary cuts to prevent layoffs had been considered, only to respond that Bungie was not that type of company. Bungie is the type of company that will not lead by example, clearly, at this point anymore. And Bife made this allusion yesterday on his Twitter feed. I feel like we need to do it here as well. There is a difference between Bungie, the developers, and Bungie, the executives at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The Bungie that we knew and loved as a studio is gone. It is gone. The last bits of it will be dissolved by next summer. There is no question in my mind whatsoever. The final shape could do gangbusters, and I think Sony is still going to pull the lever to dissolve the board. At this point, like, what choice do you have?
Mm-hmm.
God, this gets even worse. This is such a long report. Sources we spoke to pointed out many of Bungie employees who were laid off were beloved community leaders within the studio, including many who had spearheaded employee inclusion and support efforts. Several people expressed anger at the layoff of Bungie General Counsel Don McGowan, who played a key role in Bungie winning the historic suit against the player who harassed Bungie developer. Of course, that was the suit about regarding DMG. Others laid off, including a noticeable number of members of Bungie's DE&I clubs, including heads of Pride, Women, and Accessibility at Bungie. These dismissals have led to fears that these clubs will be shut down. IGN has noted that the public news articles announcing women at Bungie and accessibility at Bungie on its official blog were no longer accessible. And a direct quote from somebody who is there: "I'm angry. I'm upset. This isn't what I came here to do. It feels like many higher ups aren't listening to the data and are like, we just need to win our fans back. They still like us. No, they don't. We got rid of some of our most knowledgeable, beloved folks who have been here for 20 plus years. Every day I walk in afraid that I or my friends are next. Nobody is safe."
This is insane. This is so.
Yeah. This is not great.
Yeah. I mean, this just sounds like another developer now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's heading into the we're just another developer making a game. There's no life. It feels like there's no life, you know? And this is I mean, I don't even know what to say at this point. You know, this is rough. This is really, really rough. This is really rough to hear, as you know, you and I have been Bungie fans for 20 plus years at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I've shared a lot of times that, like, you know, I probably wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for the friendships I made through Halo and Destiny. This is pretty soul crushing to read. And unfortunately, it doesn't get any better. There is still more to go, unfortunately, in this report.
Jeez.
Yeah, multiple individuals across various departments told us they had heard discussions within their teams of plans to increase outsourcing both before and in wake of the layoffs. We kind of knew that was coming. QA has already been outsourced, apparently, which is not great, of course.
Yeah. PR contacts have also been changed.
Yes. Outsourcing QA is extremely common practice industry-wide. Bungie historically has enlisted an army of in-house embedded QA testers working within individual teams to set up the studio has always prided itself on, but QA sources within the studio are now afraid the strategy is on its way out. We know that's going to happen. We talked about the mysterious departures with Jason Schreier's article and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They also perceive growing hostility from team and company leadership, including a meeting in which QA was said to be referred to by leaders as non-developers. Fuck you. If you believe that, fuck you. I don't have a nice word to say to you. Fuck you. Like, genuinely, fuck you. There is no way you actually believe this. There's no way you can actually work in gaming and believe this. There's no way you can cover this industry and believe this. There's no way you can play games and should be believing this. This is absolutely just batshit insane. I don't understand. I don't understand how you can have that view at all.
Man, I just don't understand what's going on, man. Like, I feel like a year ago we were talking about them expanding and opening a publishing arm, and you know, they bought that new building for the new headquarters, and like they were expanding because they were growing. Yeah. Like,
and that all came to a grinding halt a couple months ago.
Yeah, clearly.
It is. I don't even know how to respond to this. This is the worst. This is the absolute worst case scenario. We have a number of questions tonight about this. I actually want to just go ahead and jump into some of these now.
Let's just, I mean, if it's part of this conversation, we might as well.
I want to just address these now, so we're not trying to backtrack back to a very serious conversation. The first one I want to acknowledge, A1 Johnny wrote this in a little bit ago. He let me know he had put this in there. Given what we all know about how bad Bungie leadership has been for years now, would Sony dissolving the board and installing their own leaders be that bad? I don't see them scrapping Bungie or Destiny, but I would acknowledge the fear of returning to PlayStation exclusive content. Barring that, maybe it's something Bungie needs. I want to be really clear. This should be like not our number one concern, but this is, unfortunately, as a Destiny show, this is something we need to talk about. I'm not at all concerned about exclusive content. If that happens, like, who fucking cares at that point? Yeah. I'm more concerned about the studio and the workers not being there anymore. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think it's a catch-22 situation with the developers, right? Or with the board being dissolved, excuse me. I have like 15 different threads in my mind. Mm-hmm. because, yes, Sony assuming control and making Bungie a direct SIE studio would be for the best overall, I believe. The problem is PlayStation has shown repeatedly over the last 20 years they are completely inept when it comes to developing multiplayer games. They do not understand. They do not have executives who understand that. In terms of single-player games, absolutely. They nail it. They are the best in the industry. There is no question. They are the best single-player team in the entire industry. When it comes to multiplayer, they're pretty fucking bad. I mean, what's the last notable multiplayer game you can think of that they made?
I mean, I would say their multiplayer is mediocre at best. I wouldn't say it's bad. I mean, Last of Us Factions, Uncharted 4 is multiplayer.
That was 10 years ago.
Oh, I know. Like Killzone 2, SOCOM. Like, I mean, all these games are 10 plus years old at this point.
Yeah, we're pushing SOCOM is 20.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad that I have to reach back multiple generations. I don't have examples I can point to on the PS4 and say, yeah, these were good multiplayer initiatives. There was a reason why they went after the partnerships for Destiny and Call of Duty and things like that. There is a reason why. And it's funny because we've drawn this correlation on Xbox casuals before, right? Of like, Microsoft does multiplayer really well, but really like kind of fails when it comes to those single player experiences.
Yeah.
Similarly, Sony does awesome with the single player content. I would say like Ghost of Tsushima Legends is the closest they've had to a good multiplayer suite, but even that was just like one mode and that was it.
Yeah, and it was like an add-on later.
It was an add-on later, which, I mean, I still think that mode has a whole lot of potential going forward, but they're not going to add to it anymore like a sequel might. But, like, we know they're doing this huge live service push, and we still don't know how those games are going to turn out for another year or two minimum is when we're going to start seeing those. Like, and it's entirely possible they turn it around, but Bungie was partially brought in to help spearhead some of those efforts. I don't have a lot of confidence then.
Yeah. Do you think Sony got by Bungie?
No.
Do you think that's why Jim Ryan is quote unquote retiring? Do you think he's being forced out?
I don't think he's being forced out. If Jim Ryan was being forced out, it's for other things. It's not for the Bungie acquisition. The Bungie acquisition surely doesn't look great.
The live service initiative in general.
I would say that's probably a contributing factor. I also think like missing the mark on PSVR 2 was a contributing factor. Mm-hmm. And also just like, Sean Layden has noted this too, right? Like games are just way too expensive to make now. Like huge AAA games are just getting more and more expensive.
He said that 10 years ago.
Sony is the best in the business at making beautiful games and having an incredible talent and stuff, but those games are costing $100 million plus to produce now.
I mean, Horizon cost $220 million.
Yeah.
God of War was like $240. Like,
yeah, these games are becoming more expensive than Hollywood blockbusters. So, like you got to think in like the technology that gets developed to go into these. Like that's why we've noted, like, I really like the push from some AAA devs to go back to smaller games like Miles Morales or Lost Legacy sized. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't know how you really rein in a studio like Bungie, who historically, like, their focus has always been multiplayer. Like, yes, telling incredible stories, but their thing has always been they've prided on you experience these worlds with your friends. They're not a studio that's just going to turn around and start pumping out, you know, a cinematic game like Horizon. That's going to take years to build up the studio to do something like that. Like, we're talking next gen.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot I think you can really do to adjust Bungie's immediate path in the next, like, 2-3 years. You know, my thing is, you know, maybe if they come in, it's been noted, they probably won't come in and dissolve the board until post-Final Shape. They might say, hey, you can wrap up loose ends, you can, you know, do some stuff with episodes, and then we kind of want to put a pin in the Destiny universe for a while. I think Sony has to be seeing the dwindling player numbers. There are people who are, you know, a lot of content creators are out there saying, like, hey, Final Shape is my jumping off point. I personally have started to feel that way. The studio layoffs only accelerated that feeling, and all the mess that's been coming out. And I don't know really where you go from here. We have another question on this also. Tiger Jesus wrote in and asks, if Sony did take full control of Bungie, where does that leave Xbox folks? Would Destiny 3 be a PlayStation and PC exclusive? I really hate to be a doomsayer, but if Sony takes control of that board, you're not getting a Destiny 3.
Yeah. They're going to focus on Marathon, and then I wouldn't, like, if Tony took over, I would be shocked if Bungie lasted another decade, maybe.
I mean, I think Bungie will exist, but in name only, because them taking, so here's where them taking control of the board probably would help. They would immediately move to get rid of Jason Jones and Pete Parsons.
Yeah.
They would get rid of a lot of senior leadership. I mean, it's, I don't know how far down it would go, but it seems likely that it could go down to Luke Smith and Mark Noseworthy. You know, their franchise directors. I don't know if it would go all the way down to them. I think like Joe would probably be safe, but he may be like, you know, that may be like, hey, you're now running the studio. I think you would have to bring in somebody from outside to help restructure Bungie at that point, the way that you want it to be, which could go one of two ways. It could go really well, like Vin Sampella breaking off from Infinity Ward to go make Respawn, or it could go really disastrous, like we've seen with so many of the ex-BioWare devs going to spin up studios. There's really no in between here. I think it's a really tricky situation. And I'm not going to pretend to know that I know what's going on over there or the legalities of anything that would happen. I would say that if Sony does move to take full control of that board, if you're an Xbox only player, get ready to build a PC or buy a PS5. Just frankly, Marathon has already been confirmed as coming to Xbox. So I think you're safe there. But I would say any future games in the Destiny saga, you bet you better be buying a PC or a PlayStation.
I mean, I wonder if they would even continue Destiny at that point on platform.
So my thing would be, well, I mean, it's Sony. They make a lot of brain dead decisions when it comes to multiplayer games. They are going to launch like 8 multiplayer games just on PlayStation and PC after all.
Yeah.
Well, it's a strategy that's worked for Xbox. So.
Yeah. Two of them got canceled.
Yeah, but they're two that we hadn't even had announced yet.
I know, but still.
I'm saying, like, in terms of ones that we've already had announced or, like, strongly implied to be in development, there's, like, 6 major games coming. And those are all PS5 and PC only. Like, and that's fine because those are all first party games. It's just when you historically are bad at this, you're throwing a bunch of shit at the wall and hoping one of these sticks. That's a really bad way to run a first-party studio. I fear that that's what would happen with Bungie. I don't think Marathon is going to get very long of a leash at all. It's an extraction shooter, which is already going to be a hard sell. I would say that future Destiny games probably will not adopt the always online model. If Sony takes control of the board, which may be for the best, I could see you getting like some Helldivers-esque Destiny games, which kind of terrifies me to say out loud now that I'm saying it. But, you know, I could see like some, you know, like 15 hour campaigns or something set in that world, but with like fixed loot, which I think would take away from so much of what gives Destiny its identity. The reality is, and I think that players really need to accept this and understand this. Like, I'm not trying to fearmonger. You need to understand that the future of Destiny is not set in stone right now. It is, in fact, very turbulent, a lot more turbulent than we felt it was 6 months ago. Just the revelations of what's coming out of the studio. One source told Jason Schreier last month that without the Sony purchase, they would be going under right about now.
Yeah.
Nerd texted me the other day and asked, do you think that this would have been a different situation if Microsoft had assumed control? And my immediate response was yes, 100%. And then I thought about it for about an hour on my drive home when I texted him back and I says, you know, I don't honestly know because the problems seem to be at the top and they're going from the top down, from leadership downwards. Like sources within Bungie described to Rebecca in this article that it feels very much like us against them, like us against leadership, like the developers against senior leadership and or against studio leadership. I should not say senior leadership. I want to distinguish like studio leadership being like Jason and Pete. And that's never a situation you want your studios to be in. Sony has to be looking at this going like, oh, we got to recoup our investment somehow because they have not done so far.
Yeah.
This is not Microsoft acquiring Bethesda. And, you know, despite how bad Redfall is, they still had Deathloop. They still had Ghostwire Tokyo. They've had Hi-Fi Rush. They've had Starfield. They had the Doom Eternal DLC coming out around that time. Like, they're going to continue to have hit after hit after hit because they acquired like 6 studios there. Bungie, it was like you knew what you were buying. You knew you were basically buying Destiny for the next couple of years, and you had to keep it multi-platform on top of that.
Yeah.
Maybe focusing on one platform plus PC would help with some of the issues going forward. I don't know. I don't think a Destiny 3 is a given at all anymore. This situation, because none of us knew these terms. We're very much changing our opinions in real time as part of the issue. So I don't know where you go from here. If you're Microsoft, or not Microsoft, if you're Sony, I don't know where you go from here. Because again, you're also in a catch 22. Like, okay, do we dissolve it? I think at this point, this is like kind of a best case scenario for them. Like they get, I cannot believe Bungie allowed this clause to be in the purchase agreement, by the way. That is insane to me.
Yeah.
I cannot believe they actually agreed to that. Sony's lawyers had to have been doing backflips when they got that in there.
Right.
Because that was the whole issue with when they were prospectively going back to Xbox, was they wanted to remain independent. And Phil said, absolutely the fuck not.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, you've even seen how, like, they have moved after how bad Redfall was. They probably had a clause similar.
Yeah.
To take control of Bethesda now under Matt Booty.
Mm-hmm.
You have a similar situation here. Like, Herman Hulst now has an unenviable task of figuring out, do we do this? Like, you don't have to worry about player goodwill anymore. Who the fuck cares?
Right.
Like, we want the studio to endure. We want this universe and these characters and, like, the developers that tell these incredible stories and make these games that we love so much. We want them to endure. I don't give a fuck about leadership.
Yeah.
If you have to change something, then you have to change something. But I think, like, it's funny that we're back here again for a third time now with this company. Because they broke off from Microsoft saying they wanted independence. They didn't want to make Halo forever. This and that. Okay, fine. Cool. We all bought it then. But Jason's book describes the immediate aftermath, and with even 6 months after the letter went out, there were Bungie employees going, oh shit, what did we just do?
Right.
Like, what do we do? They go to Activision. They were never properly part of Activision, but they had an agreement, a publishing agreement with them. And Activision was ready to stop funding them after Forsaken. Forsaken did not hit their numbers. They were ready to stop funding it. And so they went, oh, we're going to go independent. We all cheered it. We were all like, oh yeah, Activision's the problem. And to be fair, Activision is a pariah. But... like, okay, cool. So we all bought into it. And then, oh, we're independent, this and that. Oh, we're going to join Sony. And now it's looking like leadership clearly knew things a couple years ago and chose not to share that with employees. Maybe if we had taken action years ago, we wouldn't be in this situation right now.
Right.
And I don't even think it's very much, well, in hindsight, no, this is if you had done your fucking job.
Yeah.
Like... a lot of the issues facing your games are things we've been screaming about for years in this community.
Yeah.
It's frankly unacceptable. The game has gotten to an unacceptable state, and I don't know a nicer way to say it.
This is, I think it comes down to where they're at now as, I mean, everybody out there knows this. I know I'm just beating a dead horse here, but very costly bad decisions from management. And I agree with you, Josh, that I think a total Sony takeover would be ideal at this point. In terms of the existence of Destiny and the company, I also think a restructure entirely might be in order, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if half the studio got laid off at some point in terms of a restructure, you know? I mean, 1,200 people is a lot of people at one studio, you know? That's a fact. I mean, it's unfortunate, like, if they did that, like, half the studio be gone, but, like, I don't know, man. This sucks. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I don't know how you get out of it, except for very negative front-facing things happening, you know?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I have no idea what you do here. Yeah. So do you have any final thoughts to share on this? I feel like I've said my piece and I've talked in circles, and we're probably going to address this a little bit more next week as we kind of wrap up the year in Destiny.
Yeah.
I
feel bad for the employees of Bungie, the hardworking developers and QA people and community people and just everybody, you know, that has put their heart into making Destiny the universe that it is.
Yeah.
It sucks that this year of all years they release a subpar expansion, right?
Yeah, this is the year you couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah. And I wish everybody the best, except for leadership. I hope some sort of leadership change happens, because that's the obvious, because, like, if you knew this could possibly happen, when Sony bought you, right? Then why are you making all these other plans? You know, like,
yeah. Also, why did you push ahead on Marathon instead of all hands on deck to fix Destiny?
Right.
That's my other thing. I understand that you want another source of revenue. When you greenlit Marathon, you were going independent, but that's another issue. That's another issue entirely, right? Mm-hmm. That goes back to the poor management.
Yeah.
So.
Any more questions about this, Josh?
No, we don't have any more questions about this. We're good. We're good on this one. No more questions.
Okay. I'm going to send you this message I started typing, and I didn't want to ruin the fun, as they say.
Yes. Yes. So, in brighter news, of course, we're going to interject some Game Awards stuff before we get to the Schwab and get to Lore Corner tonight. There's been some really cool announcements. Rise of the Ronin, which is the Team Ninja exclusive PS5 game, is coming out in March. Looks kind of rad. I was really hoping it was Ghost of Tsushima 2. Hideo Kojima was there, and we all assumed it was going to be for Death Stranding 2. Surprise! He teased his Xbox game, OD, which we heard the rumors. We had the confirmation he was making an Xbox game last year. The rumors is that it was called Overdrive.
I thought it was called Overdose.
Not Overdrive. I'm thinking Sunset Overdrive right now. Forgive me.
It'll be a great announcement here.
It'll be a fantastic announcement. Overdose gets announced. Officially titled as OD. Jordan Peele is involved somehow with this.
Yeah, it must well be some sort of have some sort of horror element.
It does. I have not had a chance to watch the teaser. I will watch it after this. But the write-up from The Verge says it wouldn't be Game Awards without Hideo Kojima. He revealed a new Xbox game called OD. We didn't get to see much of the game, which was teased last year. The first teaser mostly just showed the cast doing motion capture tests. It ended with the tagline, "For all the players and screamers." The game does have a strong cast, including Sophia Lillis, Hunter Schafer, and Udo Kier. Also, Jordan Peele is involved somehow. Kojima teased other big names who are working on the project, but wouldn't say who just yet. It's probably a safe bet that Timothy Chalamet is involved in this. He was just meeting with Kojima in Tokyo last week.
Yeah, and didn't he tweet out a picture of him and Elle Fanning at some point? I don't know if that's
for Death Stranding. Elle Fanning is involved in Death Stranding. Oh, okay. We know that. We know that much. This is fascinating to me. I'm always here for weirder games, but hey, maybe this is like closer than we thought it was. Like not, maybe not like 2024, but like this probably like a fall 25 game. Which Kojima has basically said he wants this to blur the line between gaming and a film.
I don't know if you saw the motion capture tests, Josh, but when they were first showing it, I couldn't tell that it was a game.
I have not seen it. I will say Sophia Lillis, very excited for her being involved in this. She was one of the breakout parts of the Dungeons and Dragons Among Thieves movie earlier this year. Really, really enjoyed her. She played a really cool druid in the movie. I felt she was kind of the breakout star of it. So, her and Chris Pine were great. Get Chris Pine in here for this. What's he doing? So some really cool stuff gets announced. Of course, you know, Dead by Daylight, Sega stuff. Man, I can't believe that Kojima was actually there to talk Xbox. That's so weird to me.
It's great, though. It's cool. I'm happy as an Xbox fan. I was really interested to see what his Xbox game would be. I didn't think it was going to be this, to be honest. But it's cool anyway.
Yeah, very, very excited. And that, of course, you know, fits much in the vein. Like Hellblade 2. God, the Hellblade 2 teaser looks so good. Fits very in line with Xbox's goal of, like, trying to make more single-player content. Of course, we'll talk more about Overdose. We'll talk more about Hellblade 2 on Monday's Xbox Casuals. Corey, we got some more Destiny to talk about.
We do. You don't want to talk about the cool new Suicide Squad trailer they just showed off?
God, no. So I'm gonna go ahead and minimize that screen. In fact, I think I just closed out of it altogether by accidentally pulling up Gmail.
All this really woman funny. On stage right now has a Twilight Princess tattoo sleeve.
God, I hate Twilight Princess.
Very excited.
I hate Twilight Princess.
She's my new favorite person. I don't even know what her name is. Megan.
So we did get I do actually have to pull up that one because I think that was I've got like five windows here. Hang on. Here we go. Here's the tab I'm looking for. This week in Destiny, the Schwab is largely inconsequential this week. It's a lot of dawning stuff for next week. But since we won't really be here for the duration of the dawning, let's go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, The Dawning. It's happening again, everybody. Christmas time.
Christmas time. Shout out to Nerd for organizing our very own Dawning contest in the Discord. He is organizing a cookie baking contest. Bake your best interpretation of cookies from the Dawning event. That contest is running through New Year's Day, when we will have voting open after that. I'm very excited to see what this community cooks up. I don't remember what he said the prize is going to be. I know there's a custom server title in there for whoever wins, but not sure what else we got going. I might contribute a prize or two to this. I think this is really cool.
The armor looks sick.
I think the armor looks like shit.
Oh, I think the warlock one looks awesome.
The warlock armor looks good. The hunter armor looks like shit outside of the cloak. I don't even know what the fuck the titan armor is. Yeah. It looks bad.
I got too excited. I thought the
warlock there's snowballs the on the hunter boots. There's pom poms. That's enough for me.
I kind of like the armor. I'm not going to lie to you.
We can upgrade Eva's holiday oven this year, which is great. Bonus event rewards, the ability to earn Dawning weapons with additional perks from Eva, increased power and utility for stasis snowballs, and weapon focusing that allows for targeted weapon drops. I am super stoked for this. We're going to jump a little bit ahead in the TWAB, just because we're talking about weapons. There is a glaive as the weapon this year, the Albedo Wing, and I'm all the way here for it. This thing looks cool as fuck. I'm here for it. It is the second aggressive glaive, and it rolls some really cool perks from this season. Really excited for this. Let's talk about this. Deconstruct, which is one of the brand new perks this season. Dealing sustained damage, grants bonus damage against vehicles and constructs, and partially refills the magazine. Damage with primary ammo or against constructs provides additional progress. Constructs include barricades, turrets, stasis crystals, and other objects created in the field. It pulls ammo from thin air, by the way, when it partially refills the magazine, not from your reserves. So that's really cool.
That's amazing.
Attrition orbs, which is another brand new perk. Dealing sustained damage creates an orb of power. Really excited for that on a glaive. I really hope that this rolls on the Dawning Sword also, because I'd really like to get, I like the idea of melee weapons having that. Cold Steel, powered hits, slow targets, and Beacon Rounds, which is one of the brand new perks for the Rocket Pistol in Warlord's Ruin, rolls on this. Final blows of this weapon grants your projectiles tracking, dealing further damage, extends the duration. All the way here for this on a glaive. I love it. I love shooting my glaive. Very excited for this. This is an arc glaive. I can't help but feel this is a missed opportunity for a stasis one.
Yeah, especially because Christmas, snow, ice.
Yep. I feel like this was a really good opportunity for the first one, but they probably don't want the first one locked behind an event. That would be my only guess. And then Dawning Surprise, which is the origin trait. Rapidly defeating targets awards a Dawning gift. Defeated powerful targets count as more than one. Keep an eye out for Zephyr, the stasis sword with the cold steel trait like we were just talking about. Okay, thank God it does roll. In case you can't tell, I have not read this yet today. The damage bonus from Deconstruct stacks with the Hake Breach Armaments origin trait that you can select on Albedo Wing. This is alongside the Dawning Surprise origin trait. So I think this is cool. I'm really here for it. You know what I'm here for more, though, Corey?
What are you here for, Josh?
This memento. This looks fucking sick.
Are you you're talking about the
Dawning
Scout
Memento, the Winter Night Quest. Yeah, yes, the memento cool that is on the BXR in this picture.
This is so cool, man.
I'm very excited for this. I'm going to put this, this is even better than the all black one. I'm putting this on every single weapon I can. Congratulations, Bungie. You found a way to get me to farm Destiny over our Christmas vacation.
You got me.
I'm going to be putting this on every single weapon I possibly can. This is really cool. It's got this ice enclosure and like three different shades of blue on it. I'd really like this. I'm curious to see how the Crota weapons are going to take this. I think this is going to look really cool on the Crota and on the Vow of the Disciple weapons specifically.
Yeah.
Want to see that? I'm definitely putting one of these on the glaive. Oh, you can't put it on the glaive. Never mind. The glaive's not craftable. God damn it. I'm going to put it on a glaive that's craftable because this is really cool.
A glaive.
This is really cool. I still really think that the event weapons should be craftable, but I digress. This is really cool, though. I dig it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Super cool.
I dig it. There's way worse things that we could be seeing right now. Man. So yeah, Dawning. It's going to be a lot of the same, but with a really cool memento and an awesome glaive to earn. And it feels really weird being excited for this after what we just talked about. But again, this goes back to, we're going to celebrate the people who are there working really hard on this game.
Mm-hmm.
And whatnot. So very much all the way here for this. I think this looks cool. We'll definitely see. Do what?
I said cookie baking is back.
Cookie baking. I'm excited for cookie baking. I'm a slut for some Christmas cookies. I've been talking to my dad lately, and he's actually been texting me while we've been doing this, so I've been responding to him. He's been asking what I want to do for Christmas dinner. I'm probably gonna be spending Christmas alone this year. Not really feeling super festive. It's been a really hard year, just emotionally and mentally, and I just kind of want to be by myself for a few weeks. And he's like, well, I'm going to my in-laws, so if you want to come, you're more than welcome. I'm like, nah, that's not gonna happen. So he's been asking us what we want for food, and I've just kind of been ignoring him. And he's like, I finally told him tonight. I was like, hey, I'm not feeling very Christmassy this year, which is a shame. I love Christmas time. I love giving gifts. I love decorating. I love the baking and all that. I just really haven't been into it. So I'm excited to celebrate it in a way in game where I don't have to engage with others. If I don't want to, I can just like kind of get on and hang out with my friends for a little bit. I can make some cookies in game. I can give out some presents in game. It sounds really corny to say out loud, but it's like kind of like, it's a little therapeutic for me at this point. Festival of the Lost was really therapeutic for me also, even though I didn't play a ton of it. It's just, I don't know. Destiny has always kind of been my go-to. Like, I just want to chill and hang out with my friends game. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to still have the Dawning and for that to be something that I'm all the way here for.
Yeah. I'm glad there's some cool stuff to grind for this year, too. I mean, that
there is some really cool stuff to grind for. Are you going to be getting the Bungie Rewards Dawning Beanie?
Maybe.
I will not be. I do find it funny that they clarified that there is a removable palm on the top of it.
Yeah.
That is really funny. I'm excited to get this, and I'm excited for this to ship to me in August of next year.
I kind of like it, though.
It's fine. They've definitely done worse. I would have loved for them to have done like a sweater with that print. I think that would have been cool.
Yeah.
But I'm also like just really lame. I say that and I wouldn't have bought it. The Great Dawning Bake Off. Corey, do you watch Great British Baking Show?
Nope.
God, I fucking love that show. It wrapped up this week. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who may or may not watch it or whose significant others may or may not watch it, but I was really thrilled with the winner this year. Really love the kid who won. He's awesome. So a PE teacher fucking won, Corey. It was great. I definitely just spoiled it for everybody who's listening. This is an initiative that they're doing outside of the game. Guardians everywhere make their best desserts and share them with the community through picture and video. So the spirit of the Dawning reaches every corner of the world. You can all go in and make your own version of Dawning cookies with a little help from Eva Levante, or you can try something different, which is really cool. There's only 1 week to bake your dessert. That's really weird. The creations will be featured in next week's TWID. They'll be awarded the Art of the Week or Movie of the Week emblem, as well as the special Draconis Tetrachroma emblem. So cool. That's a thing. So if you want to partake in that.
You only get a week because it's part of their budget cuts.
You only get a week because they're all going on vacation and maybe not coming back. That was mean. I shouldn't have said that. That was dark and mean. Season of the Wish launch updates. A lot of this has been covered in Twitter threads, such as the Blind Well, the Coil, some PvP updates. We covered a lot of this already. Vault from Orbit is the big one I want to talk about here. I'm really excited for this. There is a bug where you were able to vault in an activity without the proper UI or fire team support. The reception was so positive, though, that they're going to revert the fix in a January update and leave it just as janky as it is. And post-final shape, they are going to implement a feature that lets you vault from anywhere. I think that's a really cool feature and something that should have been in this game like 6 years ago, but I'll take better late than never.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really happy for that. That's a good example of listening to your community. It's a shame that all this shit had to happen for you to finally listen to us, though.
Yeah.
It's really a shame. Orb cooldown changes are coming. So equipping multiple copies of the mods, Heavy Handed, Firepower, and Reaper will decrease orb creation cooldown. If you have three copies of those mods on, I think it comes down to like 1 second for orb regeneration, which is really cool. And then focusing cost changes, they announced this today. We are reducing focusing costs for ritual vendors in next week's update. All Crucible, Gambit, and Vanguard Ops Legacy focusing will cost 3 Ingrams. Unobtained Nightfall weapons will still cost 5. That's a nice little change. You know, that's a good start. Now I want to see it with the Trials stuff too. Other than that, I want to really apologize to people in Discord who were asking for us to comment on Fireteam Finder. I had said that I was going to try it before this week's show. It went back up yesterday. I have not had a chance to jump in there. It's been kind of a wild 36 hours for me. Just trying to get stuff together for the holidays. And I know, Corey, you have not had a chance to jump in either. It's busy time for you.
I mean, this whole thing, this whole week has been super busy, especially like at work. And, you know, this week is Hanukkah starts this week. So it's been really busy. To be honest, I feel like I'm always busy though, and maybe that part of that's my fault. But you know, stuff at work is wrapping up, and you know, a couple late nights here and there, and it's cool though. Well, we'll definitely talk about it next week though, I think.
Yeah, the test is supposed to be up a little bit longer this time rather than just like one day, so
yeah,
fingers crossed that it's here over the weekend and I can get to it. I will have a couple of days all to myself. So I'm hoping to jump in there. I've got so much stuff I got to get to this weekend too, unfortunately.
I know.
Man, it's been absolutely crazy. So I'm really sorry to, there's a couple of y'all, I don't remember who exactly it was in the Discord, it was asking if we could share our thoughts on Fireteam Finder. I gave the input last week. I don't like to talk about a feature if I haven't had a chance to actually use it myself. So I do apologize to you. I did fully intend to use it by now. I am aiming to talk about it next week. If not, God help us, we'll, I don't know. Maybe I'll set up a post and do it with a couple of y'all, just to see how it works and how it pulls people in. I'd be, you know, down for that. Oh boy. Man, I'm just, my head is all over the place right now.
Yeah.
Critical Role just announced a game. There's a new game from Don't Nod coming. There's some really cool shit happening. All right. Corey, let's head to the lore corner.
Lore corner, Josh.
Actually, well, I'm wrong. We have questions. We have questions that were
questions.
Rewind. We have questions that were not related to the ongoing catastrophe at Bungie leadership that I wanted to get to tonight. God,
dude, I hate that's man,
it's becoming a weekly segment.
I hate it. I'm not gonna lie to you, Josh, I'm not sugarcoating it. I fucking hate it every time like we have to talk about something negative, and it, I don't remember the last time we didn't have a show that wasn't negative at some point in the show, you know. It's fine. It's not fine, but it's fine. We'll make it.
Jiggly Panda writes in and says, not a question, more of a hot take. Warlord's Ruin is the best dungeon in the game. While the loot is mid, the exotic and setting carry. And the armor, in my opinion, is the best one yet. I would love to hear y'all's opinions on this. Corey, have you had a chance to run the dungeon yet?
No, I have not run the dungeon. I'm going to run it this weekend with a couple people, though. So my opinions will come next week, but
okay.
I did watch some stuff on it, and I did see the armor and the loot. I think the armor looks pretty cool. I can't comment on how the weapons play. I think they look all right. But you did a whole pod on this, Josh.
Yeah, we did a whole pod that we, A1 Johnny was kind enough to join me. We did this. I posted it on Saturday. I would say go listen to that. We definitely have shifted our opinions on the loot a little bit now that we've actually gotten drops. And Johnny has a note for us later on in questions, about specifically about the bow. I still think that, like, I think there's fun combinations, but like none of this is going to be like super meta. The bow might end up being The rocket sidearm is stupid fun. One shot from it breaks shields with anti-barrier sidearm this season, so that's been a lot of fun to run. I think they're fun weapons, and not everything has to be meta, right? But we were kind of going over this in our review and like talking about past dungeons, and we were like, man, there's a lot of really, really crappy loot in the dungeons. Like, I am not a fan of this armor set particularly. I kind of like the hunter set, but I'm not a huge fan of any set.
Yeah,
personally,
it can't be. There's as bad no as the
there's
set.
No way this is better than the Thorn armor from Grasp of Avarice.
It can't be as bad as the basic Haka set from the.
Yeah, the Haka set's really, really bad. I don't think this is very good. I think that the name is also super misleading. The Dark Age set, like, fuck that. This is not the Dark Age set. I'm also still really annoyed that these items don't have lore on them. I went into detail on this in our review pod. I encourage you to go listen to it. Really, really proud of that one. Oh, Lord Jesus, they're showing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I cannot watch this right now. I have a show to do. Minimizing that. My question for this week is, do you think we will see another Wish Dragon? In the audio logs, Crow says there may be more that they didn't kill. I would say always err on the side of caution when it comes to a mystical entity like a Wishing Dragon.
Yeah.
In any fantasy setting. We are recovering the eggs, so I mean, unless some double cross happens, it does feel like we're going to see the rebirth of the Ahamkara. Mm-hmm. There are whispers that 3 Ahamkara were alive on Earth and were not killed. But that's, you know, unsubstantiated. That is actually in a lore piece this season, which I'll get it together for us, and we'll read it either next week or the week. Next week, probably going to do a little bit of Dawning lore, honestly. We'll probably do it when we get back from break. I want to talk extensively about the Ahamkara in January. And that's going to tie into it because that's previously unknown information to us. I want to let the story progress just a little bit more. Tiger Jesus writes in, how many omelets do you think one Ahamkara egg could make?
Well, they're what, the size of a... They're bigger than the size of a human, right? So
I would say they're probably about like 4 or 4.5 feet.
Okay. Well,
I tried doing some math here. Okay. I tried doing some math, Corey. I didn't do it very well. People looked at me really weird when I was trying to measure the length of egg crates in HEB yesterday. So I had to stop. I was getting stared at. But I would say, you know, if a typical crate of eggs is like, I don't know, like yay big,
mm-hmm.
what would you say? Like about like 9 inches or so long?
Sure. Yeah.
I would guess that like if you were to fill that whole volume, I think you could probably get like 250 eggs in there probably if we're including the shell. We got to include the shell here, okay? And because that is important to our calculations. I would estimate if the typical omelet takes 2 to 3 eggs to make.
I would err on the side of 3.
I would err on the side of 3 as well. I would say you could roughly make about 75 omelets out of an Ahamkara egg.
I'm gonna go
now. What are we loading them with? What are we loading them up with? I know we're getting some diced ham in there. I know we're putting some cheese in.
Bacon.
I'm chopping up some bell peppers and putting them in mine.
Don't forget that cheese. That
what kind of cheese are you putting in yours?
Oh man, you know,
are you doing cheddar or are you going like more exquisite, like a Gouda?
No, you know what I'm going with, Josh. I'm going with the Tex-Mex blend.
I was about to say, Corey's just going to say Kraft singles.
God.
God, I would walk out. If somebody put Kraft singles in my fucking omelet, I would just walk out of the room. I would be disgusted.
Yeah.
What would you do if somebody was making you an omelet and they just pulled out a can of Cheese Whiz?
I would cry and leave.
What if it was like nacho cheese that you get from nachos at an NBA game? It was like the Rico's cheese or whatever it is. The plastic cheese that you can like scoop up and see like the like layer of grease on top.
Yeah. Like the layer of grease that we used to get when I worked at the restaurant. Just it said extra cheese flavoring, and if it didn't like thaw correctly, there was just this thick layer of orange goo on top. It was so gross, man.
Oh, dude, the orange goo and the chili.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, you can see the grease separating. What's the best omelet you've ever had?
Oh, boy. Man, I want to say Chef Mickey's.
Chef Mickey's is a good choice.
Yeah.
I had one at a local breakfast joint. I don't remember what it was called, but it was out in California, and I got brisket in that burrito.
Shredded brisket? Not
burrito, in that I got shredded barbecue brisket inside of that omelet.
Oh my gosh.
And that is the greatest. I had that. I poured some hot sauce on it, Corey. I paid for it about 2.5 hours later, but it was so worth it. It was so good. I cannot get over how good it was.
Sounds amazing.
It was, in fact, amazing. Cade writes in and asks us, what do you think of the difficulty of the new coil activity? Have you gotten a chance to experience this yet, Corey?
Yeah, I did it once the other night just because I'm tired of not being able to talk about stuff on the show. So Tuesday, I played a little bit of it.
Did you do it with randos or did you do it with friends?
I did it with randos. And I see how cool it could be,
yeah,
with friends. But when you get in there with randos and they just have no idea what they're doing, and it being my first time running through it, like, man, it was rough for me, but I can see the coolness coming through the trash fire I was in.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely think that I think the difficulty is just right, especially as you get higher. I think it's great. It is one of those activities I will not be solo queuing into with randos. I will 100% only do this with friends that I'm familiar with their playstyle.
Yeah.
This is a challenging activity, and like I want to do this with people who are like actually serious and who are like geared up properly to do said activity. So I personally have not done it with randos. I had enough warning from Sammy and Nerd not to do that. So I've just been poking fun at everyone else who does it with randos. Good luck.
Yeah.
Have fun. Airmail Attic writes in. Oh, do you have more to say? I'm sorry, Corey.
No, I was just commenting. Have fun if you're in it with randos.
Have fun, indeed. Airmail Attic writes in. Curious to hear y'all's take on the ability uptime and orb generation changes that are landing. Do you think the ammo economy should be addressed next? So I think orb generation was addressed really, really well yesterday. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the TWAB.
Yeah,
I think that's been addressed. I think it's fine. Ability uptime. The reality is, as much as I don't want it to be nerfed, it needed to be nerfed. They clearly want their gunplay to shine, and I understand that. Like, what so much of us think about Destiny is the abilities, and that's what makes it unique. I don't think that is a problem with PvE necessarily. I do think it's a problem in PvP, and that's largely why it was being addressed. Yes, I know we can address it differently, but you shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
Like, that's just the reality of the situation. Like, in egregious outstanding examples, sure. But people shouldn't have to memorize how things work in two different ways, in my opinion.
Right.
So not a huge fan of the ability changes, but like, I think that you can still make a build that will address your concerns. It is going to nerf some of the more popular ones. I know Bonk Titan has gotten hit really hard. But that's also the nature of a live service game. Like, you have to continually change, and especially with a PvP game, like, you have to change the meta up. That's how it is.
Yeah,
this isn't a PvE only game. Like, you have to change the meta. It's an ever-changing one. They're still trying to find that perfect sandbox that they had with the 30th anniversary is widely regarded as probably the best sandbox we ever had. I personally don't vibe with that opinion. But I get it. I don't like the blame that I see getting thrown around that subclass 3.0 is the blame for the broken sandbox now. Like, no, we have more options than ever before. Rather, I do think that the shift into how they did the new mod system with Lightfall hasn't necessarily landed the way that it needed to. It's been a pretty rough year in terms of that.
Yeah.
I think that having things like Charge with Light, and I know Warmind Cells kind of got nuked before that, but like Charge with Light and Elemental Orbs were two really big things you could build into. I do understand they were broken to an extent. and they were almost required charged with light builds. But it has been a little challenging, you know, figure out some new builds. And I would say, like, if you're uncomfortable with, like, trying to figure out a build on your own, or you're really struggling, there are other options. And I really recommend that you go and you look at, you know, like, build groups, or you look at build YouTubers and stuff, and find something that's going to fit your play style. Like, things are going to change every couple of seasons, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. And I know that's the generic answer, but, like, the ability uptime, yeah, like, I do think it's a problem with some, but there's almost always an exotic that buffs it. You got to decide, like, what's more important to you in a build. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, I choose to focus on super DPS.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm running Star Eaters on my Solar and on my Art class. Well, I may not be running it for Solar anymore, because I'm probably going to go back to using Celestial Nighthawk on Solar. So now I got to make up a new Solar build. And, like, that's cool. Like, that's part of the fun for me. Even when the game is stagnant, that is still a fun thing, I think, is to experiment with new builds and new abilities and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. The ammo economy, I think, will be addressed at some point.
Yeah.
I think it's largely okay. We could maybe do with, like, a 15% increase on heavy ammo. But I think, like, when I'm running special, I'm almost always seeing special ammo on the ground. Mm-hmm. I don't see a real big shortage of that. I think a 15% uptick in harder PvE activities on heavy would make the trade-off. If you're going to take away the abilities, put more heavy in PvE. That's my only request. I think PvP, whatever. I'm happy you're taking the abilities away as much there. Yeah. Oh my fucking god. Arcane Leon's next game is coming on, Corey.
Well,
I
just watched Skull and Bones, so.
I think it's Blade.
Is it?
I think it's fucking Blade. It's set in the current. It looks like it's set in the current day. It's said from the studio that brought you Deathloop and Dishonored.
Person?
I don't know. Well, maybe this isn't Blade.
Bethesda.
Maybe this isn't Blade. I'm watching it right now.
Hold on.
Sorry, everybody. We are taking a detour for this.
Hold on, dude. If it's Blade, I'm gonna flip out.
I'm gonna flip the fuck out.
There's a cross.
I know. Oh my good lord! I'm turning on my audio for this one.
There's a
guy. Oh, dude! It's totally Blade! It's Blade! It's Blade!
Is it first person? Look at this art style.
It's fucking Blade! It's fucking Blade! Oh my god!
You think this is exclusive?
Oh, it's 100% exclusive! Oh my god! Oh my god!
Look at this art style, man. This art style is cool. This is... Dude, look at this art style, though. Are you checking out this art style? Sorry, everybody. I'm leaving that audio. Oh my god, that's so cool, man. So we're getting.
I knew it.
So we're getting Blade and Indiana Jones now from, like, that side. Oh man, dude, the Blade. That's so cool, man.
Oh my god, that is the most unsubstantiated rumor I've ever seen in my entire life, and I'm here for it.
They had to use that vampire tech somewhere.
Bro, I don't even care. I had started convincing myself that this was going to be like DLC for fucking Redfall.
Oh my god. You see that art style though? Super cool. It has that comic art style.
I really hope that it keeps that style.
That was a cool reveal, man. Oh, Arcane Blade, man. That's cool.
Oh my god. That is the perfect studio for it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god. I think back to the level design of Dishonored 2, and specifically the Clockwork Mansion.
Yeah.
And there are few sequences in games that have ever captivated me from a design standpoint like that. Holy shit. I can't believe it's fucking real. I cannot believe that's fucking real, guys. I'm so sorry for...
That is
breaking,
a huge get for Microsoft.
I am so sorry for breaking everybody's ears.
That's a huge get for Xbox, man. It's so exciting. Oh, it's so exciting. Josh is texting everybody he knows right now.
No, my phone is blowing up right now. Oh my lord. Okay.
Man,
all right.
That's cool, man. I'm excited for that.
All right, we're getting back to questions. We're getting back to questions. Nerd asks, primary glaive win? I don't know. This was the opportunity. Nah, God, Blade is fucking real. I can't believe this. Knox asks, how do you guys think that Riven will screw us over later in this season? I don't know if Riven's... I'm very curious. I don't think Riven screws us. I think Riven screws Marisov, personally.
Yeah. You think she's gonna... No, because she's in the trailers for Final Shape.
I would be very surprised if Mara doesn't get screwed over here at the end. You know, they keep talking about sacrifices, and I almost wonder if Riven is going to be like, you know, if you really want it that badly, I'm going to turn you into a wish dragon, and you can grant your own wish, which we know is destructive for Ahamkara.
Yeah. Man, I still can't believe they just showed Blade. So cool. Oh, man. What's Anthony Mackie doing here?
I don't know. That's what I was just trying to figure out, too.
Captain America game?
No, he's talking about Twisted Metal right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Knox also asks, with the introduction of rocket sidearms into the game, what are some wish list perks you'd like to get on one? Like for any future sidearms or any perks you wish was present on the current one? I mean, for me... I think that it pretty clearly would be Impulse Amplifier or Volt Shot, but I have both of those on my current one. I would like to see future ones. I would really like to see not a volatile one. I think that's a little bit much for a rocket launcher. I'd like to see maybe a void effect that slows on a future one. I know that's kind of Stasis's area. I'd like to see that. I think shooting an enemy with a strand one would be really cool if it granted you unraveling rounds, but that might be a little OP against champs, so I don't know if they would allow that. I really just want to see the elemental perks. I think incandescent would just be stupid fun to like be scorching everything. I mean, that's basically the only thing I really want. Like, rocket sidearms are just so new, and I frankly I've only gotten to play like one day with mine so far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the day I got it. I really haven't been able to play much since then.
Yeah.
That would be my take. But I mean, Impulse Volt Shot is really, really fun right off the bat. I like the homing rounds. I haven't gotten a chance to play that personally yet, but I am really excited to try out the homing rounds on it.
Yeah.
Saint asks, any seasonal weapons you're chasing? Yeah, all of them. This is genuinely the best suite we've had all year.
Yeah, I'll probably
specifically, I'm going after that linear fusion, and I'm going after the trace.
Yeah, those are cool.
The fusion is really busted right now. It's the best rapid fire fusion in the game. My personal pick is that linear. That linear cooks. It cooks with some of these new perks on it. I think it's really good. So I can't wait to craft that bad boy. You can't really go wrong with any of the weapons, though. The Pulse is apparently really good in PvP. Mm-hmm. I was less than thrilled with it in PvE when I tried using it.
Yeah.
And I had things like, I had attrition orbs on it, too.
Yeah. That's disappointing, because I was really looking forward to the Pulse.
I mean, I also think, like, we have so many good Pulses right now in the game, but also, Pulses are in a really weird spot for non-PvP usage. I don't think they're in a great PvE spot.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hit like probably like 20% harder in PvE content to be like viable anymore. That's a bit of an issue, but it's also like really hard to measure up when Messenger is still currently available in trials.
Mm-hmm.
Messenger is like probably still the best pulse in the game, and the comp pulse is really, really good this season too. So you have two other excellent choices to go get like right off the bat, right there. It's a little bit harder for me to recommend it. Unfortunately. And then not a question, but a Titan PSA from A1 Johnny. First off, A1 Johnny wanted me to pass on his apologies that we were absolutely adamant that the bow was a kinetic bow. It is in fact a strand bow, and that changes everything. It can roll with slice, which is really exciting.
Ooh.
From the dungeon. And then he has a Titan PSA for everybody. Precious Scars is insane now. Use it. You give restoration to Arc Titans with every Ikalos SMG kill. Insane. Stacking restoration with Banner of War on Strand, busted. Restoration with Void Overshields and Devour, illegal.
Illegal.
Precious Scars really is like super busted, and nobody is giving a lot of attention to this. It's kind of like the hush hush secret. I expect they're going to let it have its time in the sun before they go nerf it before Final Shape. Maybe in like the April update that we're getting, they'll take an axe to it, but I can't see them, unless it just like wildly starts tipping the balance in PvP, I can't see them really taking any action on this right now for PvE content. So very, very, very interested to see how this one plays out. Precious Scars, people finally have a reason to use it.
Great.
All right.
Johnny, send me finally that info.
Let's finally go to the lore corner, though, Corey, for our final thing of the night. We've got the Buried Bloodline, which is the exotic crossbow sidearm from the dungeon.
Crossbow, man.
Fickroll stands on the bridge of a seized ketch. Ravagers keep watch over a handful of elixni that remain to pilot the vessel. Five heavily armored Scorn kneel before Fickroll, their heads bowed in reverence. Fickroll steps forward. Dark rumors whisper from the dreaming city. The reef hunts us. The darkness claims us, and our father is not returning. But even without Uldren's Sov, new Scorn still rise. Old Scorn still live, unseen. Fickroll waits for silence before looking beyond the five armored Scorn knights to the greater horde that gathers. He turns and points his staff at the pilots. These elixni, they speak of Scorn risen on Earth, where dead things will hunt them or darkness claims them. We serve only Scorn. Fickroll raises his staff above his head. We will bring them home. Open their minds as I have for you, as I will for all Scorn. The horde gnashes and shears. Rathil, Malaris, Vrixis, Nymix, Surlux, ascend, commands Fickroll over the commotion. The five armored Scorn stand. You, loyal Sohn, will be my knights. Scorn move from behind them to present the knights with staves made in the image of their leaders. Go to Earth. Bring brothers and sisters home before darkness claims them. The knights bow. Rathil, Fickroll places a hand on the center knight. You will lead. Rathil enters the quarters of the Ketch's dead captain to see Fickroll gazing at the walls of bound tomes filled with elixni scrawl. Rathil could not understand the contents of these books, but his father had learned much from them. With time, he would learn to unravel their secrets as well. Father, you called me? Be prepared to leave. Fickroll turns, a polished seal case in his lower arms. I have one last gift for you. Fickroll opens the case to display a clean-looking weapon, a sleek bolt caster. Rathil could see its original elixni design, twisted, broken, and refashioned into something stronger, as he was. Claimed from kings by wolves, modified. Scorn, now like us. I am honored, Rathil says, gently lifting the weapon from its case and bowing. Fickroll looks upon his son with pride. I send you to claim kings as we once did as wolves. Carry our history with you. Claim it and bring it home. This is wild. So Rathil is the knight that we fight at the beginning of the dungeon. And it's really cool to see that Fickroll is still out there fucking around. He is a man on a mission still. We've suspected that he's going to be dealt with probably in episodes. We know there's a Scorn episode coming. It makes sense for him to come back. He's been talked about just in rumors and whispers. And everyone's like, yeah, he's a threat, but we can't afford to face him right now. We have so much other shit going on that we have to address first. So I'm really intrigued by this. It can be assumed that the sidearm, or that the weapon he picks up is this sidearm. Mm-hmm. Claimed by kings, from kings by wolves, modified, Scorn now like us. And that's what this is, a bolt caster. So very interesting in this. I do wonder if maybe there becomes a little bit of crossover, because in the dungeon you get dialogue from Uldren, or from Crow, really, and from Petra. I do wonder if maybe something happens. I don't think we'll be going back to the reef or anything, but maybe something happens with Fickroll to set up that episode instead of just teasing it in the lore.
Yeah.
This is really more important to understand the overall story of the Scorn. The Scorn have kind of been put on the back burner outside of us, like, fighting Kallus's Legion of Scorn that he had. Mm-hmm. It's important to note, the darkness claims us, but we only claim ourselves. We only claim Scorn. That's really interesting, because Fickroll clearly does not want to be controlled by anybody unless it's Uldren. Very weird, but you have to wonder if his and Crow's paths will eventually intersect. I think you can safely assume that they will.
Yeah, it seems likely.
Yeah. So just really cool that we're getting a little bit more Scorn lore and that they specifically confirmed that he came from the wolves. Little nice nod to House of Wolves there.
Yeah. The return of Skolas, everybody.
Oh my God. I would be so mad.
Scorn loss.
Scorn law. I hate God. Corey, that's it. That does it for the lore corner. Get me out of here. I'm done.
Oh man. Josh. Yeah.
What everybody... a catastrophe.
I know. Yeah. Anyways.
Not just Bungie.
I think that was pretty good. So I want to thank everybody for watching and or listening to this episode of Tower Casuals. A short one today. You can find
Shorter than we thought it was gonna be.
Yeah. Yeah. Also the Game Awards. You can find us every Friday on your podcast service of choice, YouTube videos shortly after. Subscribe, rate, review, whatever. Josh, thank you for your time tonight, as always. I know we're all distracted by many things right now. But...
God. Next week is our last show of the season.
I know.
Well, not of the season. Of
the year.
Before we take... God, we got to decide if it's going to be a 2 or 3 week break, frankly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We've got next week's show, and we've got an Xbox Casuals that'll be recorded on Monday, and then
we're done for the
then
year.
We're done. We've got Tower Casuals on Thursday, and that'll be it. Yeah. So,
and we probably won't record a Xbox Casuals on the first because I think the first is a Monday. So
We won't have anything to talk about. So, but we'll cover the Game Awards on Xbox Casuals. So if you want to hear me scream some more, you can. You won't hear it in real time like you are now, but you can hear us. React to all that. We're gonna discuss the actual awards also, which we have missed most of tonight.
Yeah.
But we'll talk the actual awards and some other gaming news that's happened lately. So
yeah.
Very excited to dive into all that.
Exciting
as
times.
Always, thank you. Yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody for your support too. Yeah. There's been a couple questions asking when we're gonna talk about Game of the Year stuff. I've been asked that a few times. Chats. Game of the Year, I think Corey and I are going to talk about it, but it's definitely not going to be until January. We're not doing it before we go on break.
Yeah, I would say
simply because we still have games to get to over the break.
Yeah, I have like 5 or 6 games on my list at least. So, I would say probably our first episode back for Xbox Casuals, probably for sure. And then if you guys want it on this show, then I mean, we'll do a brief segment of that here as well.
Yeah, we'll probably break down our top 10 like real fast.
Yeah.
But if you want the full on breakdown, it is definitely going to be a show to tune into for Xbox Casuals, because we're not going to be just like, oh, these are the top 5 Xbox games. No, we're going to do our overall top 10. So there's going to be some love for Nintendo, some PC love. So definitely some love for Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. I am doing a live stream the week after Christmas with a couple of friends, with our friend Ray Apollo. I'll be doing a stream with him and our friend Spencer when I go up to visit them for Beermas.
The yearly Beermas.
The yearly Beermas. We will be discussing in explicit detail our top 10s. We're already trying to nail down those lists and it's not going well. Spoiler alert, I'm having a really hard time. I also have not gotten to like 3 of the games I really need to, including, I know we have been requested several times now by Knox. I'm so sorry, Knox. We have been asked to talk about Baldur's Gate 3. Baldur's Gate 3 talk, I promise you, is coming in January. Promise.
I know A1 Johnny wants to talk about Baldur's Gate. Maybe there will be a, like, on the off week of Xbox Casuals, there will be a Baldur's Gate discussion.
Yeah, we and if we were to do that, I would say we would probably post it to both feeds just so that everybody gets to hear it.
Yeah.
We will talk Baldur's Gate though at some point. We are getting the date tonight for it coming to Xbox. I don't think that's already aired.
We will get a
confirmation on the date. It is largely thought to be either tomorrow or next week, because they're kind of running out of time to make the release date this year like they promised. Very excited though. It ought to be a good time.
So. Yeah. Good times.
Good times.
Good times. Anyways, go watch the Game Awards. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.